Jessica.
This is episode 50 of the Devil Knit Podcast.
Ooh, half a century.
Yay! Yeah, so we were all set to record last week, and I lost my voice for 2 days.
Yeah,
so. It's awesome.
Just gave you time to probably finish a couple of extra projects.
Oh, yeah. So, let me start.
Yes, please, do.
I started and finished Hollyhock by Cecily Glock McDonald. It's, a top-down, short-sleeve, raglan sweater with a giant cowl neck.
With a little lacy detail on
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is knit in Imperial Stock Ranch, Erin.
E-R-I-N.
Just like me. But I knit it in Imperial Stock Ranch Columbia 2-ply, which is a larger yarn, so I knit a smaller size because there was like a 40 or a 45. Mm-hmm. So I knit the smaller size and it worked out pretty well. I'm fine with it as it is, but the sleeves are a little bit big.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the yoke's a little bit long. So there's a little bit of puffiness right around my arm, my armpit. So I'm gonna eventually rip it back and take some of those sleeve stitches out and make the yoke a little bit shorter so it's a little more fitted.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hard for me to tell doing top down when you try it on. Like, when you go to finish the sleeves, how much that's going to pull in.
Yeah.
It's a little bit iffy, so.
And I think I always err on the side of looser because there's nothing worse than a sweater that is too tight
like
under the
cuts
arms.
Cuts off your circulation.
Yeah, and you kind of feel like you're being, like you're wearing a harness or something, so.
Yeah.
I think mine usually end up a little long in that.
I love that yarn, though. Love it.
Well,
because you knit a sweater, too.
I will discuss that later when I talk about what I knit, but really like that yarn.
I keep thinking of what else I could knit with it. I think something cable-y would be really good in that yarn.
I think so. Well, it's very... At Madrona, Shelter was kind of the big yarn because Jared Flood was there and they were selling his yarn. And the more I look at it, the more it looks virtually identical to me to the Columbia 2-ply. Except I think the Columbia is a little softer.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed working with it.
My hands were so soft because it has a lanolin.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of lanolin in it. I was like, oh, my hands are so soft. And then it blooms.
Yeah.
A lot and gets like nice. And because when I first knit the sweater, it was a little bit tight because I was knitting on the smaller needle than the yarn calls for. But then once I washed it, it like bloomed and got super soft.
Yeah. Might be a little hard to rip out, actually, if you wear and wash it a couple times before that.
Yeah, so I've worn it twice, but I've only washed it once. So
yeah.
I might have to do that soon.
Yeah, it might get a little challenging.
Yeah. And then I'm doing a slouchy hat swap, but none of the other people that I work with on the weekends listen to the podcast, so I'll go ahead and talk about it.
Was it more than just Hannah this time?
Yeah, it's Louise and Adrian, like all the weekend people. Yeah, and so Sunday
no one's inviting me to swap.
You don't work on the weekends.
No, all right.
Sunday we're going to Oliver's Twist after work.
Oh.
We're gonna have drinks and do our swap.
Fun.
So. I knit Ripple by Wendy Bernard, which I had done in the Cascade Pure Alpaca from my mother-in-law, but I did it in Madtosh Merino
Light.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, you were doing the well water. Oh, that's so,
it's so
pretty.
It's underneath Macassity
so
right there.
Oh, yeah. So how are you working out the swap?
There it is.
Pretty.
Isn't it pretty? I love it.
This color is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Cute.
And it just lends itself really well to that ruching pattern.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to knit. It feels so silky.
Yeah, it's great.
So there's four of us, and so I was just going to do random number generator and then, like, give people the names. But what we had someone do is we wrote all the names on a card, and then one of Hannah's regular, like, Wednesday night people came in, and we had her choose. And then we put on the Saturday... So she chose, I'm like, I'm Erin, that's Hannah, that's Adrian, so we don't get our own names. And then Louise, who works on Sunday, we put hers in an envelope and, like, sealed it up. So that nobody knows, yeah, like, you only know who
you're knitting for.
Not who got me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So
that's for Hannah.
So you're knitting for Hannah again?
Again, yeah. But I thought that she has blonde hair, so I thought that blue would look really good on
her. That is great. It is really cute.
I love it.
That is fun.
And I actually re-knit a pattern.
Yes, you did.
A different weight yarn.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice. It was on threes, so it was kind of small.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah,
thanks. And I knit a pair of socks. My vampire boyfriend from Nitty from last year and Hazelnut's Jubilee, which is a sock club color from 2 years ago.
I thought when you said my vampire boyfriend, or no, you didn't say my vampire boyfriend at knitting. Ariel said it, and I thought she was just looking at the socks and saying, ooh, my vampire boyfriend, like, which is something she would say.
Yeah, that is something
I didn't realize that was actually the name of the pattern.
Yes.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
It's a top-down or cuff-down sock, and it's the pattern it's in red, too, but it's in colonnette, which is heavier weight, and mine's finer.
Mm-hmm.
So I still use the bigger needle, and then I knit the biggest size. Mm-hmm. And they're a little bit snug around the
heel.
Around the heel, but they fit, so.
And it's got, like, a cable.
It's a heart cable, and then what she calls a bite mark cable on the side, but you can't really see the yarn overs that do the little two big marks.
Okay.
But it was fun, and those are easy. My Cleopatra stockings are in hibernation. I finished the first one while my mom and sister were here visiting, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so pretty, I love it. And I was like, I hate it, hibernation. And I just stuck it in the bag, and I threw it in my room. I got a meditate on that one a little bit. Man.
Well, you made it through the first one.
Yeah. So I'll definitely do the second one because I'm halfway done.
Yeah.
But I just need a break.
It gets easier as you go, too.
I need a break.
I'm sure the more times you do it, the easier it'll be.
Yeah. And then, I knit the Riverbank hood from Nitty as well in Noro Retro.
I don't know that one. What's the Riverbank?
It's just like a cowl with the hood attached to it.
Oh.
It was knit in vintage and, Noro Vintage. In the pattern.
Wait, Noro Vintage?
Yeah. It's the same blend as Retro, but it's the stripey one.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
So it's an Angora Merino, or Angora Wool, something, whatever Retro is.
Silk.
In that teal color.
Mm.
So it's a semi-solid striping one. And the pattern said it took 3 skeins, but I only used 2.
Oh.
And it uses a big needle, like a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, super fast. Because after those Cleopatra stockings, I wanted something fast that was pretty easy. It was easy.
Unlike the sweater that you knit in a week, like, that wasn't fast enough for you?
No.
Bitch.
So I'm working on Cassidy. I finished the one front, and I'm almost done with the ribbing on the second front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the Fiber Gallery knit-along thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really enjoy the people who have been coming in.
Oh, great.
They're a fun group.
I saw a woman at Madrona who was sitting knitting, and actually the people I was with were saying to her, what are you knitting? It's so beautiful. And she said, oh, I'm doing Cassidy for the knit along at the Fiber Gallery. And she was doing it in the Malabrigo worsted in the stone color.
I know that lady.
The stone blue.
I know
blue.
Exactly who you're talking about.
So beautiful. It's like that gray blue, and it's a totally different look than doing it in the Cascade. It's just much plumper, fuller looking cable, and it's
a plumper yarn.
Yeah, it's beautiful though. Yeah. It's really nice.
And I'm still working on the old shell shawl. I have like
the audience cannot see how far apart you're holding your fingers.
It's like 6 or 8 inches of that whole border section of the first half, and then I need to want the big hold up is I need to wind another ball of wool to fly. So I'm like halfway done with the border on the first side. It's really fast. It's just a old shell pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like feather and fan.
Yeah.
And it's on 8s, so it goes really fast.
Cool.
And then I started the Theory Shellette in Rios.
Oh, okay.
And the Azul Profundo.
Mm-hmm.
I got 2 skeins thinking that it would maybe work. I'm too short because it's 3 balls of silky merino.
Yeah.
And I knit one for Katie.
Right.
And I had, like, half a ball left.
Weren't you just saying you don't re-knit patterns?
I know. What's up with me?
Who are you?
I know.
How much
so I have... I ran out last night.
Oh,
I have 2 short rows and the bind-off left.
I hate that.
Yeah. But I'll get another ball and then I'll, like, make something for myself since that's my favorite color.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be plenty for... doing
yeah,
lots
but
of small
it's
projects.
In my yarn bowl. I'll pull it out and show it to you. It's really pretty knit yarn because the silky merino looks totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday I cast on a pair of socks, 2 at a time, out of Plymouth Yarn Sock and Socks. It's a bamboo merino nylon blend that's like variegated. I got it in Salem when we went to visit Noah's aunt. a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's so funny. You said Salem. You said Salem to me yesterday, and I immediately thought of Salem, Massachusetts, and I remember thinking, when was Aaron in Salem?
Never.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Got my head back in the game. Okay, right. So there's a Salem in Oregon. I gotcha.
Yeah, I was going to meet Ariel for breakfast and had like 5 minutes before I had to leave, so I couldn't wind yarn because I didn't have time. And I was just going to do... So I pulled that out because it's already in the ball, you know? And I'm just doing a 2x2 rib sock because it's short repeats and I don't know how it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so I... When I did my show and tell at knitting, I don't think you were there, I said, so I finally finished the sweater I've been working on forever. And Monica, smartass, said, giant Latvian mitten cardigan? I was like, no.
I did that too. Because I did that to you too. Before,
well, and then.
But that was meaner.
That was a whole other conversation though, then, where everyone was talking about, like, I guess because I talk about them so much on the podcast. Everyone is, like, very personally invested in seeing whether or not I'm going to finish my giant Latvian mitten cardigan or
Frostflower and Leaves. Yeah.
And then it turned very negative. Everyone's like, you should just rip it out. Just forget it. Just rip it out. I'm like, I'm not going to rip it out. I've knit 30% of the shawl.
I don't think it was supposed to be negative.
It's
I think
gorgeous.
It was...
But it was like, the tone was like, you're never going to finish it. Just rip it out. It's like,
I think they're just trying to help unburden you in your knitting life.
But I don't feel burdened by it. I love it. I just don't... Yeah, I don't know.
It is very pretty, though.
It needs... You know, someday its moment will come, and I'll come back to it. Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, I think for someone... I said to Monica, you know, that I put that shawl in hibernation, like, before she started knitting.
Yeah.
So, I think... And it was interesting, too, to talk to everybody at knitting, where most of the people who are there don't have a lot of like, aren't the people who have, like, a million whips. Although, I mean, there are, I mean, like, if you look at, like, well, like, Ariel or... I mean, so there's a few people who have, like, a lot of whips that are lying around. Or some people who just don't put stuff in hibernation. But I have other friends who have projects like, you know, half-knit sweaters that are 25 years old. And they, on some level, fully intend to finish them. And I think sometimes you come back to stuff and it's the right moment. And suddenly you, like... have the energy, you have the inspiration for it, or what once felt difficult now seems easy, or for whatever reason, and you can just plow through it. Or sometimes you come back to something, and then that's the moment where you go, you know, I don't need this, and then you'd get rid of it.
Right.
But I don't feel that way with either of those projects. I really love both of those. Well, it's my funny, I said it in all sincerity. Everyone was like, you know, telling me to, like, rip out Frostflower and Leaves, and I was like, no, but I can't do it because it's so beautiful. And I said, when I pull it out of its bag, it's like mithril armor, which made everybody laugh. Like, I wasn't trying to be funny. I mean, it is this, like, beautiful, light, silky, silvery, like, really magical, beautiful-looking fabric, and I just can't say goodbye to it yet. So.
That's okay.
Okay. Anyway. So things that I did knit, the sweater that has been taking me so long is my garter yoke cardigan, which started many moons ago where I was going to use my hand-spun yarn, and I was going to make my own pattern, and then I blew that. And so I got the pattern for the garter yoke cardi from Melissa Labar, which sadly does not come in my size, but I used it just sort of as a general guide, and then I used my hand-spun and the yoke.
Which is green.
Green, very green. It was a natural gray Shetland that I spun, and then I over-dyed it. Judith McKenzie had told us once that if you put polar yellow on top of black, it makes that really sick green that I love. So I thought, I wonder if that would work with a gray. And it did, but it was like neon green. So I had to keep... I over-dyed it a couple more times with a little bit of black, a little bit of black to try to knock the color back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because it was really like toxic waste green at first. So this is my... I'm working on the world's biggest collection of gray sweaters with green yokes. So I knit the yoke and I put in a few extra increases in it. And then it goes from round yoke and then you start to do raglans. So then I just raglaned until I felt like it was the right size for me. But I kind of did what we were just talking about where I was like, this is okay, but a few more for safety. So I ended up making the sweater. It's bigger than I intended it to. I mean, I think most of the garter yoke cardigans people have done on Ravelry are in the mode of extremely fitted, like, negative ease. Mm-hmm. And mine definitely has some positive ease to it. But I like it. It's super comfortable. So I use the Imperial Stock Columbia 2-ply. Sorry, I just hit Aaron's ball winder. Columbia 2-ply for the body. And then I went back and I did deeper cuffs in my handspun again. And I sewed on 12 buttons. But I really like it. I mean, it's not like, here's my sexy, fabulous new sweater. But I've worn it about 1,000 times since I finished knitting it. So it's very comfortable. It's really warm. That Columbia 2-ply is really snuggly and warm.
It smells really great.
Yeah, I just like it. It smells sheepy. And like, it kind of smells like, in a good way, like this came from a farm. Like, it just has that kind of like fresh hay smell to it. I just really love that yarn. It has such a, like, I'm not the sort of person who feels like objects have sort of vibrations or whatever, but it just feels like it came from a good place. Like, it's just the way I want yarn to be. Like, it's just beautiful, beautiful fiber, and it's spun really softly and lovely. And
so, the only problem I ran into with that yarn is that one of the 2-plies would have knots in it. A ton. The first ball was really bad.
I had
and after that it wasn't as bad. So
I think I encountered like one or two knots, but it's so easy to split splice.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
So I just I think I encountered that like once or twice, but and I don't know.
First ball for me was the worst, and there were like five or six in there. But
oh really?
It's 220 yards, so
and it's a bit big. 220 yards gain. Anyway, so I finished that cardigan, very happy with it. While I was at Madrona, though, I was working on the Aquaphobia sock, and I brought, like, pretty much just that to work on to force myself to do it, and I'm, like, muttering about the sock, and I hate this sock, and it was, and, like, after 2 days at Madrona, I had managed to, like, pick up the gusset stitches and knit 2 rounds or something, and then I made a mistake, and I was ripping it back, and I was re-knitting it, and then I made the same mistake, and I was ripping it back again, and my friends were all looking at me going, why are you knitting that? You hate that. And I had a moment where I thought, when I finish this, I have to knit another one. And I just couldn't take it. And I said, are you using that ball winder? And I just ripped out the sock, felt so free.
So what'd you work on then?
So then I did the willow cowl. I had the needle from the cuff of my sweater, and I just took the same skein of yarn and I did the willow cowl, although, which is a free pattern on Ravelry. It's got a picot hem on the bottom, and then it has bands of stockinette, and then like a diagonal lace, like just a knit two together yarn over lace. It keeps decreasing as you go along so that it fits snugly, like under your chin.
She's playing with her trucks in the kitchen.
Oh. But then I ran out of yarn, which was a bummer. So I didn't do as many decreases. So I did a Jenny Surprisingly Stretchy Bind Off on the top. So it's good, but it's a little baggy at the top. But I could just like pin it or something to wear. And the colors look, I mean, the tragedy of those Aquaphobia socks is I love the colors that are in the yarn. Mm-hmm. I think the Aquaphobia pattern is beautiful and it was perfect for the yarn. I just don't enjoy doing slip stitch patterns. And I need to, like, remember that the next time I see something and I go, that's so pretty. Don't do it. Anyway, so I finished that while I worked on that the whole time I was in Las Vegas. We went to Las Vegas. I did that while I was in Las Vegas. I need to wash it to try to get the smell of cigarette and general Vegas funk out of it. Everywhere you go there, there are just people scars, cigarettes. They're like, whoa, it's just smoky, smoky and disgusting. And I'm not going back. And the other thing I did at Madrona was I took a class with Betsy Hirschberg called, like, Knit and Design and Knit Your or Beaded Jewelry, where it was basically just a bracelet that was a rectangle of reverse stockinette stitch that you did, that you knit beads in pattern. And you know how if you string the beads, they fall to the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's reverse stockinette. So you've got the purl set on the front, and then it curls into a tube, and then you just stitch the tube up, and voila, bracelet. So that was fun to do. I mean, I finished it in class. And then I also, just before we left for Vegas, I swatched. And then I then I started the ribbing for A-Day, but I didn't.
Right.
I left it at home. So I And then last week I was knitting it and I was almost done with the back and I held it up and I realized that I'd made a mistake because it's a diamond lattice pattern on the back and the outside diamonds have moss stitch inside of them, mm-hmm. but the interior diamonds are supposed to have reverse stockinette stitch, which I did for the first 1.5 diamonds and then I started doing moss stitch because I was like, I don't need the pattern, now I know what I'm doing. So then I had to rip out most of the back, and so I just finished the back again last night. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I was a little mad at A-Day for my own mistake. So I started a new shawl because I was running around trying to find yarn. I saw at Madrona and at Guild, Deb Fox had started, according to the pattern, it is pronounced Te-i-je-te. Which is one of Rosemary Hill's 7 small shawls to knit.
It's a two-color one.
It's two-color garter stripes, and then it has use the same two colors to create a lace border. And you would love Deb's. She is doing it in hazelnuts, in Hoppy Blonde, and Lipstick 1984.
Oh my god.
It's vivid, it's gorgeous, it's really cool. But then my friend Sarah was also doing
it,
and she was doing it in two other hand dye colors that were actually very close, so the stripes were not, it looked beautiful together, but the stripes didn't really leap out at you. I mean, like, Deb's is like, stripes.
I'm gonna go talk to my mom and get her to quiet down a little bit.
So Sarah's is very harmonious and really pretty, and then Deb's is total opposite spectrum, like really high contrast, really stripey, really vivid.
I see it.
Lots of fun. She's got a nice, I think she's got a photo of it up on Ravelry so you can at least see the colors a little bit. So I was digging through my stash and I couldn't believe that in my sock stash I didn't have two yarns that I could put together to make this shawl. And then I was like, well, I could buy something. No. I'm trying to get rid of all this sock yarn that's been sitting here. So I found, I have two colors of Socks That Rock. My last two skeins of Socks That Rock. I know.
Oh my gosh.
And one is a Rare Gems that's very, very dark, really murky, and one is Puck's Mischief, which is kind of purples and greens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they work really well together.
Mm-hmm.
They're contrasty enough. I mean, they're barely contrasty, but it's enough that you see a stripe.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very harmonious. So it's somewhere in between, I think, the two extremes. It's probably not what I would have picked because once I saw Deb's, I really wanted to do something that was like really contrasty. But
I'm just imagining that in my head, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah. And I think the problem is I don't have really contrasty colors in my stash because I buy all the same colors.
Green and blue.
Right. You know, everything's like dark. And actually, for some reason, well, I've knit like all the green and blue in my sock stash, so all that's left are like murky, deep purpley things and almost black. So, one of the other projects I've been working on, this is a pair of socks I've been meaning to knit since I started knitting. They were in literally the first issue of Interweave Knits I ever bought when I started knitting. The Uptown Boot Sock, I think it's the Big Bud pattern.
It's in the 25 favorite socks
book. It's in the favorite socks book, but I have the interweave that it came in, and I've had it forever now, and I've always wanted to knit it, so I just started doing it. I mean, it's a really simple little, like, barely a cable thing. I don't know why, I just never got around to it. So I'm doing that in Blacklight, which is a hazelnut
one that color. I have,
which is yet another like really dark, dark, murky.
It's like a black that glows purple.
Yeah, exactly. Blue. So that's sort of what all my sock stash looks like right now. It's all like really dark, really murky.
Good thing we're going to Sock Summit.
I know. Gotta get some brighter colored sock yarn, I guess. Anyway, so that's everything that I'm knitting.
Cool.
So it's a lot of knitting.
Yeah, so did you buy any yarn at Madrona?
I didn't. All I bought at Madrona, this is ridiculous. Oh, but I've been telling everybody about it. I took really fun spinning classes with J.C. Boggs.
Right.
She's insubordinate.
Were you spinning art yarns?
The first class was called Hardcore Core Spinning, because she also had a Softcore Core Spinning class. And core spinning is where you can take a commercial yarn or your own hand-spun yarn, and then you ply your own hand-spun singles kind of around it. And we did coils and stacks and just all these weird little funky things. Cool. And we tried a boucle. We did a boucle. I did a boucle class with her, which was very challenging to try to make that sort of baby loop mohair yarn. Very challenging. It was all really new to me. So I was inspired, even though I have a ton of spinning stash, I went to the market. I thought, I'll buy a little bit of fiber to try with this. So I bought myself like 4 ounces of some pretty fiber from Chameleon Colorworks. And then the only other thing I bought for myself was another bobbin for my Hanson Mini Spinner, which there was a total mad rush on at Madrona.
Really?
I personally know, I think, 8 or 9 people who bought one at Madrona.
Jeez.
They had a very good show. But I love, I mean, it's like the more I spin with it, the more I love it. It was so great for the art yarn class because it's all about plying, and you're doing a lot more than you normally would do when you ply, and you're having to move your hands really quickly. So it was great to be able to take the wheel, set it to spin as slowly as possible, and then I didn't have to worry about sort of my feet speeding up as I was getting more frantic moving my hands. Because, I don't know, I think most people tend to do that. You sort of tend to keep your hands and your feet going at the same pace. So it took that out of the equation. It was really easy, and it wasn't that obnoxious. I mean, I brought an extension cord, so it wasn't that obnoxious to have to set up in the classroom. I was worried I was going to be that person who's like, I need you to move because I've got to plug this in, and then, you know. So it wasn't. I just made sure I got there early and got a seat next to the you know, the outlet, and
cool.
And it worked out really well. So that was all I got. I got no yarn at all.
But I ended up with 4 skeins. 4 skeins. Yeah.
What'd you get?
So Ariel went on Thursday, and I asked her to go to the goth sock. I knew she was going to buy goth socks, so I was like, if you see a nice red and black one, you know, pick that up for me, and I'll just pay back for it. Because there was, like, huge mad rush, I guess.
It was insane. I was in the fiber gallery booth, and they're across the aisle from us, and the doors open on Thursday, and quite literally a scrum of people ran to the booth and just grabbed it by the armful, and by the time they left, it was, like, empty.
Yeah.
It was really...
Friday, I got there, and there were, like, 6 skeins of her multicolor.
There was nothing left even by the end of Thursday. And then she stayed through Saturday, Sunday. At some point, I was like, you know, you should really just go home.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm having fun. But, I mean, it's cute yarn, but it's just, it's that thing. It was like when we went to Sock Summit. Yeah. That year, it was Bugga, and everyone had to have Bugga. And now it's like, oh, now it's the next thing, and the next, and it's like, it's just funny to watch people go so crazy.
I just knew that she would probably sell out because she never has a ton of yarn. Yeah. And I was like, well, if you're going to go anyway, just get me this. So the color that she got me is called I'm a Bitch. It's I-M-M-A-B-I-T-C-H. So it's like a name. It's very cute. So I have the blue and black one that I got last year, and then the red and black one from this year.
I didn't realize you got some from last year.
Yeah. Okay. And then I went to like Northwest Yarns or something. They have like a bunch of different vendors.
Northwest Handspun?
Yeah, and I bought some handspuns.
They're a shop in Bellingham.
Yeah. So they had Spin Cycle yarns, which I always looked at Urban Craft Uprising, and I was just like never at the point where I want to spend that much money. I know handspun takes a lot of work and everything.
Yeah.
They have this beautiful color called Greed, I think. And it's like this acid yellow. That's
I can make you handspun yarn.
That's BFL.
Uh-huh.
And it was like so silky and pretty, and it was 120 yards of worsted weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that, and then got a skein of Polworth. It's a chunky called Autumn Rainbow or something. So it's like a bunch of fall colors, and it's a big fat.
I love Polworth.
Yeah. It's like 90 yards, so I'm gonna do a cowl with that, and I don't know. I only use the acid yellow and like a garter yoke. Cardigan or something like that. Something like that. Because 120 yards is quite a bit for handspun.
Yeah. And I had, I don't know, maybe 300 or 400 yards in my Shetland. I have at least half of it left.
Yeah.
I forget how little yarn it takes to do the yoke.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at the Cityscape pattern by Laura Chow from Twist Collective. And it's a round yoke with a city skyline.
Right.
And the background color for the city skyline, even in the biggest size, takes a tiny amount of yarn. I mean, it was like 30 or 40 yards. I mean, it was next to nothing.
Yeah.
So I always think like, oh, this is like a third of my sweater here, but it's not. Especially if you're just doing that, you know, that little bit for color.
And then I won a door prize, so I went and picked out a gift certificate for Fly Designs, which they're Northwest vendor.
Yes.
Like, I think they're on the peninsula, maybe?
I don't know where they're located.
So I went, I started a $20 gift certificate, and I got a skein of sock yarn that's Kashmara, that's mm-hmm. like the superwash merino, 20% cashmere, or 10 or 20, and nylon. And I'm gonna knit something from the Sock Yarn One Skein Wonders book with it.
Cool.
I also took a class with Janine Bages that was the Fair Isle Yoke cardigan, like mm-hmm. done EPS style. And that was really good. He told me she was sick and I felt really bad, but I learned a lot from her even though she was sick. So if she was feeling that crappy, then she's an awesome teacher.
She came back from that class. She's my roommate at Madrona, and she came back from that class feeling very, very sick. So she was just all holed up in our room for like a day after that. And
yeah, so she talked about like doing Russian join mm-hmm. and spit splicing for all the ends. Mm-hmm. And then what was really helpful to me was like breaking down how you choose, not what colors you choose, but how you design out from the center on a chart, choosing your colors. And that you don't want to change both colors in the same row.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I had to knit a mini sweater.
Right.
And then I still have to finish up the yoke part.
Yeah, everyone in the class did a little American Girl doll size sweater. Yeah,
for an 18-inch doll. So cute. I'll finish it up, and I didn't weave in my ends because I was in class. I didn't splice them or anything. Yeah. So I was in class, I just wanted to get it done, like work on it.
Yeah.
So I got to weave in all those ends, but it was really fun. And I learned a lot.
You could just make it a cardigan and just sew all those ends into the steek.
So I've only, yeah. I should do that. So this is my issue with other classes. Is like, I don't take a lot of classes. I've taken one other class, which was also with Janine Bages. And I go there and I want to learn stuff. And everyone, I know it's a retreat and people are like having fun, but I feel like I spent quite a bit of money because it was an all-day class. Like, I'm there to learn, not to chit-chat with my neighbor. Although I was sitting next to someone who's a guild member, so, and she's very nice. But, like, the two women in front of me who also spilled their tea all over my stuff, thank you. Like, they're just, like, off in their own world. And it was pretty obvious to me that one of the women did not have the skill set to be in that class. So I was like, you're holding up, like, holding back the rest of the class.
In my Betsy Hirschberg class, I will admit, I was that person. I started shushing people. Because Betsy's trying to talk to the class, and all these ladies are like, la 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 la, talking with the people around them. I mean, whether they're talking about the work or talking about something else, you know, they were preventing, and everyone is leaning in further and further, and it was a very big classroom. Trying to hear Betsy, I mean, because I know Janine's at least in those small classrooms.
Yeah.
Betsy was in one of those huge long rooms, and we're all leaning in further and further, and I just started like, shh, shh, shh. Like, I could not hear anything. It was driving me crazy. Yeah. It's like, even at Guild, I've started shushing, like, during show and tell, everyone, da-da-da-da, like, at some point, stuff just starts to break down, and everyone starts talking.
Well, that's also because it takes a long time.
We're going to discuss that at the next board meeting, how to make that take less time, but I've just turned into that person who starts shushing everybody, because it's like, damn it, I want to hear what's going on, especially for show and tell, I love show and tell, I love hearing what people are doing, I want to know what yarn they used, I want to hear all about it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just rude to talk over it people is. When they're doing that, but yeah, and when you're paying for a class, and it's, you know, it's rude to the teacher, it's rude to the other students, I just, I have no patience for it anymore, I'm a shusher now. God damn it, I'm just going to shush people.
I just scowl at people.
I tried that, but it just doesn't stop them.
Yeah.
It's like, I think next I'm going to have to start throwing, like, yarn balls at them or something.
Yeah,
like,
I think Janine was also really good about making the stop talking motion with my hand. About
doing the Dr. Evil zip it motion.
Yes.
Janine didn't do that, no.
No. I think she's really good about, like, getting people back on track.
Yes.
So.
She is very good
at
that.
Which not all teachers can do that.
No,
that's
true.
It's a good class. I really would like to take one of her weekend
things. I know. Like, do one of those, like, 2-3-day things. That would be really cool to do.
Yeah. So, this is our 50th episode. So, before Jessica got here, you know, we hadn't really talked about what we're going to do.
I know. We decided, we're like, we're going to do something fabulous for our 50th episode. Then we got here and we're like, crud. What are we doing?
So, I am going to gift, I think, 2 patterns separately to do 2 different people. Like, 1 pattern each of Cecily Glowick's Glauick McDonald's patterns because I love her so much. Mm-hmm. And I'll just gift it through Ravelry. I'll start a thread saying, you know, giveaway. And you can just post to there saying, yes, please.
And I am going to gift someone a skein of Road to China Light and the pattern to knit Fructigard.
Yay.
And
so we're doing the...
I know, so it's Cecily and Melissa LaBar, who I was just saying to Erin, they have a new book that's going to come out this fall on hats, so yay.
I'm excited.
But I just thought that's a really fun project that I enjoyed doing this year, or not this, I mean, recently. You know, nice one skein project for somebody to do.
Yeah, because I'm obsessed with Cecily, so I figured I am too. That's also support.
New pattern of hers.
Lavalier.
Stream Side.
Oh.
I love the Stream Side.
Did you see Lavalier? She added it last night. It's purple. It's got this, it's purple short sleeve. It's got this like smocking or faux cable stitch all around.
I didn't see it.
It's purple.
I love the Stream Side one. It's like a short sleeve raglan with pockets, but it's got this little ribbing detail for shaping, and it's so pretty. And I'm going to knit it when we get Tosh Vintage in the store.
Oh, we're getting Tosh Vintage?
We're getting Tosh Vintage. Oh, here it is. Lavalier. So it's Lavalierre.
Oh, I see. It's in Road to China Light.
Oh!
Isn't it pretty? Look at this.
Man. Oh, and it's just got like a little...
And here's
like
the back.
Honeycomb smocking on the... Just around the border and on the... Oh, man, that's
across
pretty.
Across the back.
Can
Isn't
I
it
enter
pretty?
To win?
She doesn't, so it's not out yet.
Oh, she doesn't have it ready
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, she just added it to Ravelry last night.
Yeah, so wait, did you see Stream Side?
Yeah, the blue one?
The blue one, yeah. Where she has like this ribbing that just gets deeper to create shaping like across the back and then and on the sides, I think. And oh, there it is. And then little pockets and and the ribbing comes to like comes to a little point on the pockets and on the sleeve and then on the sides and on the across the back too for shaping.
That's super cute.
Isn't that pretty? I like it.
Pigeon Roof.
Wait, I want to talk about movies though.
Okay.
Because I've got a million things I've been watching lately that are really fun.
Do it.
So I took my older son to see The King's Speech, which, I mean, okay, it won the Oscar. I think everybody knows it was really good. But my little thing I want to point out about it though is that it was given an R rating because of language, because there is a scene in which the speech therapist, in order to sort of loosen things up, encourages the king to say the worst words that he knows. And he does not say anything, like, so off the beam. I mean, he says the F word, but it's just in the context of, like, he's essentially listing curse words that he knows.
Right.
And I just felt like it's so unfortunate that they gave it an R rating because it's otherwise such a... good message movie for kids about, you know, overcoming challenges and facing your responsibilities and doing things even though they're difficult and you don't wanna. And anyway, so I thought that, and you know, obviously everyone's already talked about it. It's great performances. It's really well done. Great costumes, great hats. But the other thing we saw in the theaters this past weekend, we went to go see Rango, which I loved. And I think the reason I loved it so much, though, is that it's aimed... It's not super great. I definitely wouldn't take little kids to see it. It's
that animated one with Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is this lizard, and so he ends up in this little, like, kind of western town where the commodity is water. And it is endlessly referencing other movies and other stuff.
I think I knit too far on my sweater.
Oh. Sorry, we were just talking too long.
I need to measure it. So.
But so it's a real like film lovers movie because it's got all these film references hidden in it. And like as soon as it was over, I'm like, I think I need to see that again because I missed a whole bunch of stuff. And I thought it was a lot of fun, but definitely not for little kids. Megan was saying that she took her son and that he was too scared by it. It's not super scary, but, you know,
he's three.
Yeah,
so.
But there's a bit of peril in it. And it's also, it's like, it's kind of a dark story, like, but it was hilarious, and I really enjoyed it. A couple of other things that I saw, Wes and I, while on vacation, watched a documentary on Netflix called Kings of Pastry, which is about the competitors this French pastry, like, every 4 years.
It keeps getting recommended to me.
It was really good. Like, yeah. There was a moment in it where we both went like, oh, no! Like, you kind of get into it. It was very enjoyable to watch. It's like 80 minutes long, so but it's a fun documentary to watch. But the other thing that I've been watching that I'm just losing my mind over that I enjoy so much that I didn't think I would is Parks and Recreation, the Amy Poehler show.
Yeah.
Because I started watching it, and I thought it was going to be like The Office, because it's shot like The Office. Like, there's sort of this camera in the room, and people are looking at the camera or talking directly to the camera. But the tone is completely different. Like, The Office is really funny, but it's kind of pretty negative, and it's kind of mean-spirited, and it does get a lot of its humor out of making its characters, like, really uncomfortable and kind of humiliating them. And Parks and Rec is, like, the total opposite. It's, like, it's really, like, plucky and good-spirited and really, like, nice to its characters, but it's hilarious. And Amy Poehler is great in it, and Aziz Ansari is funny, Rashida Jones is in it. And now I just started watching season 3. Actually, I finished season 2 because that's all that's on Watch Instant. And to watch season 3, there's 6 episodes on Hulu, but you can only watch 5 of them without Hulu Plus. So I paid $8 last night to watch the first episode of season 3 because that's the kind of girl I am. Like, gotta see the. Because now Adam Scott from Party Down has joined the cast, and I love him. And it's just, it's a really, really funny show. It's totally worth watching. I've been enjoying it so much. It's just like, it's like if Ginger Rogers had made a sitcom, this would be it. It's just like about a girl who's got like pluck and moxie. It's just, and what I like about it too, it's like when I started watching, I thought, oh, this is going to be a show that makes fun of this character. Uh-huh. But in fact, she is like, she's super competent. She's great at her job. Everyone really likes her. And it's like the total opposite of the Michael Scott character from The Office. And I like that because I just feel like I didn't want to watch a show about everyone like hating on this person who's sort of endlessly plucky in the face of everyone hating on her. And I like it. So that's my little pitch for that show. What have you been watching?
I watched all of Downton Abbey.
Yay! Isn't it awesome?
I'm excited for a new season.
Everyone keeps coming in and going, oh, watch Downton Abbey, oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's really good.
It's good
I actually
stuff.
Enjoy the below stairs stuff a lot more than the above stairs storyline.
Yeah, it's
I don't
really
think
good.
The mother is very likable. But Maggie Smith is hilarious.
Ugh.
She's like a comic actor.
She is.
She has the best timing.
Oh yeah.
For in delivery.
Absolutely. Yeah. I keep like so every funny. Line she delivers I had to pause it and turn to Wes and say, Maggie Smith is an international treasure. I love this woman.
Yeah, she's great.
Ugh, love her.
I watched season 4 of Dawson's Creek.
How many seasons do you have left to go on that?
3.
Oh man. Seven seasons? That's like Monica and her Murder She Wrote. How many seasons did she watch of that?
Like 14? There's like 12 or 14 seasons.
I thought it was 14.
She's on season 8 or 10.
No, I thought she finished it.
Did she finish it?
I thought she said she finished it, and we were like, how many was that? 14 seasons of Murder She Wrote. Craziness.
That's stamina.
Yeah. my hat's off to her.
Yeah, it's fine. I watched this anime series called Fruits Basket, which is funny. It's for, it's geared more towards, like, older, like, high school age and adults, because there's cursing in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one season, and I guess it was one of the longest running manga serial things. It was, like, in a magazine or something.
Huh.
And it's 26 episodes, and each episode is 20 minutes or something. So, they're really easy to watch when you don't have that much time, and they're funny. It's about a high school age girl who ends up, like, her mom dies, and then, like, through this series of, like, her family kind of sucks. Her dad's had a family kind of sucks. So she ends up living with two of her students, two male students from high school, and their older cousin. And the weird thing is that they're part of this family called the Soma family. And when any of these certain members of the family are hugged by a member of the opposite sex, to get turned into animals from the Chinese zodiac. It's totally weird.
Is this a Japanese series?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's the Chinese zodiac. Whatever.
That is a
so the
weird.
Two boys she lives with, or the three boys, the two high school boys, and then the older cousin, they're the cat. So there's also a second story about the cat being left out. I guess it's like a folk tale or something. One of them's a cat, one of them's a rat, and one's the older cousin's the dog.
Oh, you see, I'm near the dog. We went through the zodiac once, and we're looking at it, and Wes was like telling everyone in the family who were at a restaurant, like who, and mm-hmm. and he said, "Oh, and you're the dog." And then I got to say the line from When Harry Met Sally of, "Is someone a dog in this scenario?"
It's totally silly.
That
I watched the whole
silly.
Thing.
Does it resolve, or is it just the first of a?
It's pretty resolved. Mm-hmm. I think I was reading up on it online on like Wikipedia or whatever. Like a bunch of people on them to do a second season because there could be a continuing storyline, but it's pretty resolved at the end.
Okay.
But it's fairly highly emotional. I wouldn't say that's good for like younger mm-hmm. kids. I enjoyed it. There are some allusions to like. Same-sex coupling and even within the family. So it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And like the older cousin, every time he goes to like a function at the high school, he talks about how he likes to look at the high school girls.
Yeah.
So it's really not for
kids,
even though it's a cartoon. But it's totally silly and it's super easy to watch. So mm-hmm. I watched like the first two and I was like, I'll keep watching that. Okay. and then last night, Noah and I watched Monsters, which is a sci-fi movie, and I think it was misnamed, because it's not really about the monsters, it's about the couple. So at the beginning, it's like, we sent a probe to, I think it's Mars, but I can't remember. I was on cold medicine last night when we were watching it.
We sent a probe somewhere.
Somewhere, into space, and it came back and it crashed over Mexico. And so there's like this, whatever, the probe that came back with samples. Now there are these, like, big, huge creatures. They look like kraken, giant squid, both crab legs. And they've infested this part of Mexico between the U.S. border and, like, kind of southern Mexico. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. has built this giant wall on their side.
Kind of District 9.
It is. Very, like, District 9. And I thought it was just going to be, like, a crappier version of that. But I thought it was pretty good. So there's a guy who's a photographer. And his boss's daughter is stuck there, and they have to get to the coast to get one of the last ferries back because the infestation is kind of spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And the military is closing down that section of the coastline.
Oh,
so
okay.
He has to get her there safely and, you know, back on the ferry. And he doesn't want to go because he wants to photograph these big, huge creatures.
Mm-hmm.
That they, like, migrate through certain parts of Mexico at certain parts of the year. So it's like the two people, a man and a woman, trying to get back to the U.S. Things happen with the ferry. They have to go overland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about them than it is about the whole sci-fi part, like the whole alien creatures.
Is it like horror or more like adventure?
More adventure.
Okay.
I mean, for a lot of the movie, you just kind of see the aliens or whatever kind of in the background and kind of blurry. But, you know, you see, like, the whole infested area. There aren't really people living there. So you see, like, all these old hotels grown over with jungle and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. So it's like District 9. It's not really done documentary style.
Yeah.
And it's more about the people.
Less political.
Yeah, and the girl's like a marine biologist or something, and she speaks Spanish, so I got to practice my Spanish by not reading the subtitles, so that was awesome.
That's good.
But I liked it. Noah was like, that was pretty good sci-fi, and he's a big sci-fi nerd, so. But I think it should have been called, like, creatures or something, because they never referred to them as monsters.
Huh. Perhaps it is the humans who are the monsters.
Perhaps. So at the end, there's like kind of a little bit of a twist, and you have some feeling for the creatures. Like, why are we trying to? Oh, and the U.S. military is always also like chemical bombing the jungle where they're infested because the creatures lay their eggs in the trees. It's kind of like sea turtles. They come up on land and they like lay, and then they go back to the water. So so you get to see all this cool stuff. There is some murder. Or killing of people, and it's a little bit bloody, but I didn't feel like it was super graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't, like, sexualized violence. Like, yeah. Make it all, like, hot and pretty and stuff. It was just, like, these creatures attack. There are dead people on the floor, uh-huh. on the ground, whatever. So, but I liked it.
Good.
I'm getting, like, super funky okay. all of a sudden.
Should we wrap up?
Yeah, let's wrap up.
We've been talking forever.
I know.
Well, here, it's perfect. It's 50 minutes for our 50th episode.
Yay! Yeah, so this is 50. We're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Onward to 100.
So I'll start a thread on our Ravelry board about the giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that in, like, I'll give people a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
People like to get a chance to win free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll just do, like, a random number generator to pick winners.
Super
and
groovy.
So you can find us on Ravelry on the Double Knit Podcast fans group. That's right, right?
Double yes.
Or at doublenit.net. That's where our show notes are.
Yes.
And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.